Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends,
welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevan Zwelder.
Today we're going to look at Proverbs chapter 17, verse 3, the last part, the part that says, "The Lord trieth the hearts." The Lord trieth the hearts. Now, no matter what it is or who it is that you love, until your love has been tested, until your love has been tried, there is absolutely no way for you to tell for sure whether your love will stand up to the test. That's why the Lord trieth the hearts. He's going to check you out, and he's going to see whether your affection is fickle or whether your affection is real. Are you a fair weather friend, or are you going to love at all times and under all circumstances? The Lord tries your heart, first of all, for him. The Lord tries your heart for him. Look at John chapter 14, verse 15. John chapter 14 and verse 15, the Bible says, "If you love me, keep my commandments." If you love me, keep my commandments. Now, the Lord is going to give you something to do that you don't want to do just to see if you love him. For instance, he told that rich young ruler to give his money to the poor and to follow him. Now, Jesus promised him, "Give your money to the poor, take up your cross, follow me, you'll have eternal life and treasure in heaven." He promised him that he would have eternal life and treasure in heaven. But the fellow wouldn't do it. And Jesus explained that the reason he didn't give his money to the poor, the reason that he walked away sorrowful without eternal life, is that he trusted his riches. Ultimately, the problem was that he did not love God, the first commandment. If you'll remember in the gospel accounts of the rich young ruler, the Lord told him to keep the commandments. When he asked, you know, "What shall I do to inherit eternal life?" He said, "Keep the commandments." And he said, "Which?" And he said, "Well, you know the commandments. Do not steal, do not kill, do not commit adultery," and so forth like that. He names those ones that are 6 through 9. And he also mentions honor thy father and the mother. So 5 through 9. He doesn't mention thou shalt not covet, and he doesn't mention thou shalt, you know, love the Lord thy God and have no graven images to bow down thereto, and didn't say anything about taking the name of the Lord God in vain. Those first three, and of course keep holy the Sabbath, those comprise those commandments that deal with your love for the Lord God. And Jesus didn't mention those, and he didn't mention those on purpose. The reason he didn't mention those were the ones that the guy was having trouble with. When Jesus Christ summarized correctly for the lawyer that asked him what the great commandment of the Bible was, he said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." He said, "This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like thereunto, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." Well, the guy had the "love thy neighbor as thyself" ones down, but he didn't have the "thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy soul and all thy mind." He didn't have that one down. And so the love of that he had was tested. It was tried. And the guy came up short because he trusted in his riches. And he, unless something changed after the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, that guy is in hell today. You see, the Bible makes it very clear that the Lord wants us to love him with all of our heart, mind, and soul. And the Lord will oftentimes put things in there as a test to check you out, to try your heart. Just like Proverbs 17:3 says, and you'll try your heart for him. In Luke 14:26, Jesus told his disciples that they could not be his disciples if they did not hate, that's the word he used, their fathers, mothers, wives, children, brethren, sisters, and their own lives. You think, well, that's remarkable that God would say you got to hate your fathers and your mothers and your wives. I mean, particularly when he says in Ephesians chapter 5, we're to love our wives as Christ also loved the church. But it's not remarkable when you consider that to love Jesus fully, you might have to hate a close relative. Because your love for the relative might be more than your love for God, and there can't be any competition. Years ago, I met a fellow that was from Maldives, and he had trusted Jesus Christ as his Savior. His family was Muslim. He went home to witness to him. He was excited about his salvation. His father broke his arm and had a mock funeral, kicked him out of the house. Now, if that guy had stuck around there to express his love to his father, he would have forsaken his testimony of Jesus Christ. You understand? And in his love for the Lord Jesus Christ, he had to stand with God. Well, what a test. Now, you say, I love God, but until that love has really been tested, you won't know for sure. I've seen instances where girls and boys are dating and the thing is wrong according to God's scripture. For instance, there's a lost man and a saved girl, or a saved man and a lost girl. They're dating. God's not in that. He said, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Now, he says, who are you going to love? Me? Are you going to? He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. You going to love me, or are you going to love that friend? Boy, I'll tell you what, it really puts it to the test, doesn't it? You know what you try to do is you try to jam God into your plans. Well, save him so I can go on with my plan. God says, you know what? Show me your love for me. I'll let it be a test. I'll try your heart. And many times, the little Christian, weak in their faith and love for the Lord Jesus Christ, stays with the boyfriend-girlfriend situation, for instance, and forsakes that opportunity to prove the depth of their love for God. I know a fellow that was going to the mission field with his wife, but the woman he was going to marry, they weren't married yet, his betrothed, and she said, I just can't do it. And he said, well, I cannot turn my back on the call of God. So he didn't go through with the marriage, and he went as a single man to that field and was very successful on that mission field, in spite of the fact that he had to make a very serious decision between the woman he loved and he hoped to soon marry and his God whom he served. And you know what? In the test, he came out right. The Lord tried his heart for him. But that's not all. The Lord will also try your heart for his words. In John chapter 14, verses 23 and 24, Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. You see, you're going to be tested in your love for God's words when you read the psalmist in Psalm 119 over and over again in the psalm. He repeats his love for God's precepts, for God's testimonies, for God's words. Psalm 119, the Bible says in verse 97, oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Psalm 119, verse 113, I hate vain thoughts, but thy law do I love. Now, your love for the Lord is so inseparably connected with your love for his words that if you truly love one, you'll love the other. But if you do not love one, you really don't love the other, though you may say that you do. There are people who say, well, I really love the Lord, but they don't ever read the Bible. I really love the Lord, but they could care less which translation of the Bible they use. That's not important to them. The Lord said, if you love me, you're going to keep my words. Verse 21 of John 14 says, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. I will love him and will manifest myself to him. You see, your love for his words is going to be tried. And you say, well, what's he going to do to try my my love for his words. He's going to try your love for his words by offenses. In other words, he's going to let things offend you and see where you fall out. Psalm 119, verse 165 says, great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. I've seen people get so offended over God's treatment of them, over their lot in life, over their adversity in life, over the way people talk about them, look at them, don't talk about them, don't look to them, don't talk to them, whatever it may be, and they get offended. And the Lord said, great peace have they that love my law, and nothing shall offend them. You see, in Mark chapter 4, there is an affliction, there is a persecution in a Christian's life that comes for the word. And when you hit that, then you're going to find out whether you really loved his words or not. Mark chapter 4 talks about the word of God being sown by a sower. And in verse 16, he said, These are they, Mark 4:16, these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who, when they've heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness. Happy to have the word of God. And have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. Well, I didn't get into this for affliction. I didn't get into this for persecution. I didn't get into this to be offended. Well, then, you've been tried. And it was found that your love for God's words was not what you thought it was. Job went through a battle. Job went through a battle that I believe none of us could survive. And yet in the middle of that battle, he said, watch it, I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Nothing tasted good to Job at that time. He was so sick, and everything that he owned was gone. His wife was there. You don't hear much about her. Not a lot, apparently, that she could do to comfort him. Three friends came to comfort him, and before it was all over, they were accusing him of unrighteousness and wickedness. This wouldn't have happened to you if you hadn't been a wicked man. It was horrible. And yet he said, I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. And he proved it. But surely when the Lord began to speak, Job listened. God asked all those questions. Job doesn't answer. When he was put on the carpet and told to answer, he humbled himself and repented at the reproofs of God. You know what he did? He passed the test. Most certainly, he loved God's words. There's a book named Job, 42 chapters. He said, oh, that my words were graven in a stone with ink, with a pen. I didn't quote that properly, but there they are. He loved God's words. And how about you? Are you one of those that won't even read the words of God? You don't even take a Bible to church? The Bible you have at home grows dust? You read a devotional every day with a little scripture in it, but you don't read the Bible? Let me tell you something. Don't tell us about how much you love the Lord when you won't even bother to read his words. Your love for the Lord and the love that you have for his words are weak under the trial of your faith. Because you'll say, well, I just don't have time. I'm busy. I've got to get up early in the morning. I've got to drive to work. Then I've got to work all day. When I get home, I'm tired. My mind's so numb, all I can do is prop my feet up and watch 2 hours of television. Then I go to sleep. I understand. But don't explain to those who had no Bible in prisoner of war camps and did everything they possibly could to reassemble as much scripture as they could through a crude code of tapping on the walls and reciting from memory passages that they had learned before. If somebody were to ask you to quote a verse of scripture that you had memorized, what would you say? Jesus wept? You wouldn't even know what book of the Bible that's in. The Lord tries your heart. And I'm just trying you a little bit. I'm giving you a little offense to see where you fall out. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. You hear me out, and you hear that, and you say, well, I've never read that Bible cover to cover, and I've been saved 20 years. Then don't tell me about how much you love God. Because if you love him, you're going to love his words. And now you've been tested. When you really love him, you'll love those words and you'll begin to read. And you'll follow what he said. But that's not all. The Lord not only tries your heart for him, tries your heart for his words, but the Bible says he's also going to try your heart for your spouse. Ephesians 5:25 says this, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it." So the measuring stick of our love for our spouses is the way that Christ loved the church. And you know, wives are to love their husbands as well. In Titus chapter 2, verse 4, the elder women are the ones that instruct the younger women on certain things. And one of the things that, on which they are to instruct them is their love for their husbands, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. Now there's also subjection and submission and fear and reverence and all those other kind of things, obedience, all those other kind of things. But let's just stick with the topic of love. That's what he's doing. He's trying your heart. Let's talk about your love for your spouse, your heart for your spouse. You know, people often marry out of lust, out of physical attraction, out of enjoyable conversations. But if you've been married for any length of time, you know that if your love does not grow beyond those things, those physical attractions and those conversations, it will never stand the test of time, much less more severe trials. Now be sure of this. Your love will be tested. So if that's the case, if you're going to get married and your love's going to be tested, you talk about people that live together, and then they get married, and 5 years later they're divorced, and you say, why does that keep happening? Why is the divorce rate as high with those that have lived together as those that never did? And all that, the thing is, their love was never put to the test. So, if you know your love's going to be tested, and it has to stand the test of time, why not put it to the test before you marry? William Langley's mother told him, "William, don't marry no woman what you love." I looked at him strange when he told me that. I said, why'd she say that? He said, because a man's liable to fall in love with any woman that will look back at him. She said this, "Don't marry a woman that you love, but rather marry the woman that's going to prove she loves you." Oh, that's big. You know what that means? You're going to have to stay with her long enough before you marry to put the love to the test, to be sure that you can prove your love to her and she can prove her love to you. Put it before the Lord. Let the Lord try your love to see of what it's made. Be patient. Be prayerful. Seek premarital counseling. Because to love a spouse the way that Christ loves the church is to give yourself. You're not in marriage for what you can get, but for what you can give. That's where the love of the Lord Jesus Christ excels all other love. And you're going to be tested on that basis. The Lord will try your heart for him, for his words, for your spouse. The Lord's also going to try your heart for your friends. Proverbs 17:17 says, "A friend loveth at all times." A friend loveth at all times. Now, I've had many friends in my life, and I suppose you have too. But over time, the ones who are still friends are the ones who have stood up to the test of friendship. You see, long-standing friendships are going to go through trials. There's going to be ups and downs. There's going to be hardships and trials. And these trials are going to involve things that may surprise you, like the choice to stay with your friend when others demand that you separate. That's right. There are times when your friends will say, when they don't like you anymore, to another friend who still likes you, "If you go back and see that fella, you go back and see that lady, we're not going to have anything to do with you anymore. And now you're going to have to make a choice whether you're going to stay with that friend of yours or whether you're going to buckle under the pressure of those who say, you make that choice and you're no longer friends of ours." That trial may involve standing with your friend when others desert him for a fault. You know, it doesn't take much these days for somebody to mess up and do something for everybody else to bail out on him. But if it's a real friendship, and I'm telling you there's a real love on the part of your friend for the Lord Jesus Christ, that's not the time to bail. Boy, I'll tell you, there was a time in my life when, they were deserting. And I had a couple or three fellas call me and say, hang in there, buddy, we're with you all the way. I'm telling you, those are friends that stand the test of time. Listen, your trial may involve the choice to remain loyal to your friend, though it costs you personally. In other words, there may be a financial drain on you because you've stayed loyal to your friend, who is a real friend. You may have to help him out when he's helpless and therefore shell out some. But I can remember when my father spent a long series of time in a hospital and then recovering over a long period of time from the stint that he stayed. He had a friend that stayed with him every night so my mother could go home and get rest, and came and cooked breakfast for him after he got out of the hospital early, 6 o'clock in the morning. Coffee together, a little breakfast, and then he'd take him out and ride for the ranch just until he could recuperate. That is a friend. Now be careful whom you call friend, because your friendship is going to be tried, sometimes beyond the extent of your imagination. And to be a true friend, you will need to stand the test. You understand that Jesus Christ surely stood the test with us. He stands with you and calls you friend. There's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, right? He surely stood with you. And he expects you to be able to stand with some that he's standing with at times when nobody else wants to stand with them. Will you do it? The Lord's going to try your heart for your friends. And then he's also going to try your heart for his people. 1 John chapter 4, verses 20 and 21 talk about your love for God and then your love for the brethren. And he basically says, I'm going to read it to you, but he basically says, don't tell me how much you love God if you don't like the brethren. 1 John chapter 4, verse 20 says, if a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. Now God's people may be a ratty bunch from time to time. We can get kind of squirrely. But God loves us so much. And you know what? We should too. If we really love the Lord, then we're going to love his people. If we really love the Lord, we're going to love his people. One pastor said, in the ministry, I have learned to be careful with other men's souls. You know how he came to that conclusion? His love for God's people had been tested. There was a time when he wasn't careful with their souls, and he backed off because he learned to love God's people. His heart for God's people changed. Another pastor said, I became more compassionate in my preaching after I saw sheep leaving my church bloodied and beaten, and I realized that I was the one that had hurt them. Many of God's children are being exploited today while they're being told that they are loved by the very ones who are exploiting them. Preachers standing in pulpits are ripping off gullible children of God with all the promises of prosperity and all the other wayward doctrines and philosophies, all the shallow doctrines that are going on today in the name of building big works so that the fat cat can get fatter. And they're exploiting God's people. They're fleecing the sheep. Don't be fooled. Listen, I have seen churches ripped to shred by those who say, I love you, with about as much sincerity as those who say, God bless you, after a sneeze. Listen, your love for the brethren is going to be tried. And if you really love God, you'll love your brother also. Through thick and thin, God surely loves him. And so should you. You know something? Satan's most crippling attacks on churches are leveled at these five things. That's right. He is going to attack in an area that will affect your love for God. He's going to attack in an area that's going to affect your love for his words. There are so many people that have lost their confidence in the Bibles because all these modern Bibles that are out there, the proliferation of all that stuff, boy, this is easier, that's what, they're just not reading anymore. The devil is going to attack your family and try to wedge in between you and your wife. He's going to attack between you and your friends. He's going to attack in the church to see if he can cause discord to split the brethren. And you know something? The Lord allows him to try you, just like he allowed the devil to try Job. And you know what you need to do? You need to resolve that your love will grow through the test and come out stronger. I mean, every time in churches where you have to go through difficult times and you knuckle down and stay in the love and come out on the other side, the love is stronger. It has survived the test. True in families, true in churches, true in your love for God, true in the love for His words, true in the love for your friends. Don't cave in. Listen, don't think that you love God or that you love His words or love your spouse or love your friends or love God's people just because you hear yourself saying, I love you. You know what we say? Prove it. Prove it. Paul, in talking to the Corinthian church, says that the Corinthians needed, like the Macedonians, to go ahead and make up their offering to the poor saints back in Jerusalem. Why? That I may prove the sincerity of your love. The Lord trieth the hearts. Say, I love you, but you won't give Him what is rightfully His. You don't spend time with Him in prayer. You don't spend time with Him in worshiping Him. You don't spend time in His book. You're nagging on your spouse. Can't hold a friendship. Divisive in the church. Listen, God's going to try your heart, and you be determined that in all these areas, you and your love are going to stand firm. Amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Ranmorgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.